morning scripture reading comes from James, the first chapter, be verses 12 through 15, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard. Blessed is a man who preserves under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am being tempted by God," for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death.
Joe, I appreciate you sharing that story with us. We learn so much from our children, don't we? He is God. He was man. He came in the flesh and he dwelt among us. He came to his own, but they received him not. You know, the human life of Jesus is one that we try to understand. The reason is because while we accept that Jesus existed as God before becoming flesh, his fleshly side helps us to understand God. But does Jesus really know what life for us is like? The Hebrew writer seems to understand that people would question who Jesus was and what it would mean for God to become man. And so the writer gives us something to think about, some information to help us understand why Jesus came in the flesh. If you will, turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Follow along with me. I'll read verses 14 through 18. The writer here said, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death," and that is the devil, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, and he is able to help them that are tempted." The reason Jesus came in the flesh was to destroy the sin that destroyed our relationship with God. And Jesus conquered death so that we might live with him for eternity. But enduring all of that in the flesh, he lived just like every other human being. He had all the same issues. He had the same desires that any other man would have, and yet he did not fall into the temptations that were put before him. Instead, he remained perfect and sinless, but I'm telling you, it wasn't because Satan did not try to destroy him. Most of us understand that the ministry of Jesus began after his baptism. He was about 30 years old or so. And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 4 that Jesus was led, driven into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted. And there he remained 40 days. He endured fasting at that time. But in that chapter, we get a glimpse of what happened at the end. 3 times Satan attacked Jesus. He tempted him with turning the stone to bread so that he might ease his hunger. It was really a test to not trust God to meet his needs, since Jesus was led into that wilderness and fasting was part of the temptation. But Jesus responded. He quoted Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And then Satan tested him to test the scriptures by having him jump from the high point of the temple, the pinnacle, the King James says, to prove that what God's word said in Psalms 91 in verses 11 and 12, that the angels would guard Jesus. And Jesus responded, Deuteronomy 6 and verse 16, "It is written, do not put the Lord God to the test." And then Satan took him to a very high place, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he told him, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. And Jesus responded with Deuteronomy 6 and verse 13, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." My point in going over a very common account that most of us know is to realize that Jesus became flesh and that he was tempted just like we are. The difference between the two, him and us, is that he stayed true to God. He leaned on and relied on God's word for guidance in times of temptation. He did not give in to the fleshly desires that man typically has, but he gave himself over to the one who could and would save him. James wants us to know the truth about what Satan wants us to forget, that you don't have to open the door when temptation knocks. We don't have to fall down when temptation strikes. That we can endure and receive far more from God than the small pleasures sin offers for just a season. Now, if you will, let's go back to James chapter 1. And looking again at verse 12 that Charles read, "Blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him." You want to find inner joy. You want to feel the fullness of God's blessings. Then we need to stand strong when the trials and temptations come our way. There is that crown that all of us is looking to wear, that crown of life. We want to live in our Father's house forever. We need to desire his love more than Satan's lies. And we can have that crown. If you will, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'd like to read verses 3 through 5. And follow me along as Paul writes, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war with the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God unto the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." A couple of phrases in there. Take every thought captive. Demolish the strongholds. In those things, we can have that crown of life. But we have to take the fight deep within us, all the way back to the root, the very desire that began this temptation, and fight it there. Person just doesn't sin. They think about it first. Yes, they even plan it. They prepare for it. They enjoy it. They enjoy the process of bringing it about. But we do not have to fall. We need to fight, my friends. Fight. Paul, I think, understood that struggle more than anybody else in the Bible. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 24, Paul cries out that the struggle is within and that he so often fails. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who can save me from this body of sin and death?" And he answers the question in verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, I serve the law of sin." We need to remember that he also wrote in Romans 12 and verse 2, "To be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind." We need to get our mind, and we need to go back to the root, and we need to take that root, and we need to uproot it if possible. And we need to keep in step with the Spirit. The battle of the mind is a battle for the soul. And we need to fight and win. James tells us that temptation is a process. Let's look in James 1 again in verses 13 through 15. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it finishes, brings forth death." The first step in the wrong direction is the blame game. If you had just done this, then I wouldn't have done that. You make me so mad, I just had to. Or maybe it's not my fault, I was just caught in the middle. Or a really good one: what was I to do? See, we rationalize our sinful actions. We blame someone for our behavior, or we simply seek to make it of no effect. But the truth is, we refuse to accept personal accountability, not only for our actions, but for our own thoughts. James, he says, when tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." Let's go all the way back to the beginning of mankind, when God asked Adam, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" And Adam said, "The woman you put here with me." Now let's stop right there. Adam is blaming God for temptation. Just because God allows temptation does not mean that he is inducing us to sin. In fact, that's the opposite is true, that God is looking for us to succeed, not fail. The pathways of sin starts within us, and we can't blame God. Satan knows exactly what entices man. God gave us 5 senses, and those senses can either project pain or pleasure. Yes, even the smell. Liver and onions smell good, but I won't eat them. Satan works deep within us because his goal is our spiritual death. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. We succeed when we realize one truth. We need God. Not a single human being that has ever walked the face of the earth, except one, has lived that perfect life. When Paul made those comments in the book of Romans, it kind of gives us a different picture of Paul. We hold Paul up on a pedestal. We always, in our minds, try to picture him as perfect, but Paul struggled every single day. Peter even denied his Savior. And he became a great evangelist, a great apostle. But even after he saw the light, even after he began his ministry, he too sinned. See, nobody, not even the apostles, were perfect. And while they can write these tremendous letters, and inspired by God to put these things to pen, so that we have a record of what God wants us to know, these men were not 100% perfect. Though they worked very hard at controlling the thought process, they worked very hard at controlling their body functions. But you see, they were human beings too. When you look at the men of old, of Abraham and Moses and David and Solomon, you look at John the Baptist, who, when he baptized Jesus, realized who he was, but who ended up sending men, his disciples, to him to confirm it. A doubt. Proof. All these men who served God stumbled and fell. But they didn't stay down. They got back up. Who do you follow? Who do you want to follow? Do you want to live forever? I think that answer would be a resounding yes. We want to live forever. The pathway of eternal life starts with obeying the gospel that is written in God's Word. You cannot develop faith without hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17. You must believe on Him, John 4:6, verse 47. Peter reminds us continually in Acts 2:38 that we must repent. Paul writes in Romans 10 and verse 9 that we must confess Jesus with our mouths before men. And Paul reminds us in Acts 22 and verse 16 in his account of his conversion that we must be baptized for the remission of sins. It is then and only then that God Almighty Himself adds you to His church. That is your desire. We ask that you come. And if trials and temptations are wearing you down and you need the prayers of the brethren, we pray also that you'll come and answer the invitation as together we stand and we sing.